is how much stock do we hold in 2020? Because we hear about people who lost their jobs and people who have like obviously a lot of mental health issues because of lockdown or being a pandemic. Or, yeah. You know what I mean? How much stock do we hold in this year? Do we say, okay, guys, no points this year? It's a friendly.
Yeah, it's a hard one because unfortunately we're always prone to just sort of like compare ourselves to each other. And look, a lot of people have suffered as a result of COVID, but a lot of people have done extremely well as well.
Sure.
I know people got promotions, who got new gigs, but then I also know people who like, you know, they've been out of a gig for, you know, the better part of a year.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's definitely a mental, and I think, you know, now getting up to, you know, this is the last month or two. Yeah, but I think it's just, let's just all get over the finish line together.
Let's just make it there alive. Like, let's just get there.
Yeah.
I mean, like for me, it's been quite an interesting year because obviously like I was working until like July and then, but still under lockdown and then quit my job, moved to London, then moved to Greece and now I'm studying here.
Yeah.
And
now where's your job?
Well, so like I was actually in the shower this morning and I was like, you think in the shower. The shower is where people think the most. I'm not sure why that.
Yeah.
Check out the science behind that actually. But it's I was sitting in the shower and I was thinking like, what am I doing here? I'm in fucking Thessaloniki. I didn't know this place existed like 6 months ago. And now I'm here and I'm studying a master's. Like, why am I not working at my job and on a plane to like a random location to direct or produce or whatever? And and I was thinking like, oh wait, my job doesn't exist anymore. Like it doesn't exist. My agency is gone. It's just everything. So I couldn't have, I left like a rat fleeing a sinking ship.
The perfect time.
Just before it even showed signs of sinking, I'd left the boat and suddenly the whole thing just capitulated. So, I mean, I think I actually made a pretty good decision in what I did, but I think I might be one of the lucky ones. Like a lot of people it's tough. People gained weight over lockdown, people lost their jobs. There's like a lot of things that happened.
Yeah. Relationships didn't survive lockdown.
Dude.
Look, man, it's been a deep year. And I even know some people took on jobs because it was the right thing. And the one thing they tell me is like, whatever you do, do not take a job while there's a lockdown. It has been the most challenging thing I've ever had to do. Yeah. I mean, I could imagine onboarding into a new gig, but you're sitting at home all day.
Oh, dude, like over Zoom. It'd be terrible.
Oh, dude. Just asking people, hey, how do I access the Y drive?
And this person's like trying to make sure their dog is fed and their kids are stop fighting with each other and go like, nah, I'm going to tell the new kid how to access the Y drive. What the hell? Just leave me, you know, I don't know.
Oh yeah. We didn't even comprehend people with kids. Like, yeah. I don't know if there's too much stock you can take from it. Like if you're safe, your family's safe, that's the stock you take. And you just, you know, you kind of push to 2021.
I think that's what it is. Eh?
Like some of us are just even hoping we can fly home.
Yeah. I mean, same. We're both in that same predicament. Can we leave the places where we live to visit our families?
Yeah. But from what I understand, people from London are flying back to South Africa. Man, that's a real thing.
They just opened up the border. Just literally yesterday.
Really?
Literally yesterday.
So no quarantine? Because I've heard people going back and having fun. I was like, what?
Oh, yeah. But South Africa is jawling now. They're jawling, dude. It's crazy in SA.
So you just fly, no quarantine.
I don't want to talk about COVID for lots, but apparently South Africa has reached herd immunity, where so many people in South Africa have got COVID that they and the death rate is so low, then now to be they go like, hey guys, just go ham, we don't even care anymore.
It's like, it is what it is. Stop counting. Hey, stop counting. We're back.
We're back. Clubs are open, bars are open, everything's fine, everything's good.
Yeah, well, you're not going to take South Africa's December away.
No, you can't.
You can take everything from them.
And December.
But not December.
With the Z.
No.
No one fucks around with South Africa in December. No one does that. No one. Shesha will be playing in December outside of a taxi.
Weekend. Or December.
Yes, we'll be playing.
For those of you who don't know, South Africa in December, it's a different place.
Yo, dude. December.
I encourage you to go there thoroughly.
It's not a month, it's a lifestyle. It's a whole month.
It's a legitimate lifestyle. You just fly to the coast and you just live there.
Oh, dude, you this is your the best, best thing. Life. You drunk from the 1st of December to the 2nd, 1st of January. It's ridiculous.
The pedestal.
The pedestal.
The pedestal.
So, man, I have something I need to discuss with you. I was speaking to a couple of friends of mine.
So, man.
Yeah. So I need to discuss something with you. Sorry, yes, I'm thinking about what I'm saying. I'm not thinking about who you are.
Okay, don't take me. No worries.
I was speaking to these friends of mine. These friends of mine are private school women. Did I say girls? Or they were private school girls?
Sure. You're not talking to underage girls.
No.
Okay, good.
These girls were, they were speaking that language those girls used to talk. Remember that language?
The goo? Is it called the goo?
I think it was called the goo.
Where they would, yes.
The gab? And it was sort of similar to pig Latin?
Oh, uye pixe igpe atle?
Yeah, that thing. I don't know what that thing is, but I remember we decoded it.
Yes.
Because girls would have full-on conversations about themselves, like, in front of us.
I pixe igpe atle.
Or she can speak it.
I pixe igpe atle fluently fle.
Can you tell the listeners what that means?
The ones who understand me are the ones that do. No, so I said I speak pig Latin, and then I said I speak pig Latin fluently. Because
I did not hear that at all.
Oh yeah, it actually works as like a language.
Yeah, I can't hear that. I cannot hear it at all. I don't remember.
Hatte upa se interesting se. No, that's wrong. Entering, interest. Okay, fuck it. Nouns are really hard. Basically, how Big Latin works is you take the first letter of the word and you put it to the end and add an A. So if it's like, I speak Pig Latin, IA, yeah, that's an interesting one. IA, pixe, igpe, atinle.
Right. I don't feel like you'd have to practice that quite a bit, though.
Yes, you would.
Yeah.
But like, once you get it, like, I mean, I haven't really been practicing. Like, I just remember from when I was a kid, we used to speak it like all the time.
Yeah. But anyway, why was that spoken? Do you know?
I don't know. Wasn't it just kind of thing that happens on the playground? It's just like the dumb things that only happen in the playground and like nowhere else. Like, remember those things that you, it's like, there was like a piece of paper that you folded and they go, and you have to choose the different options.
Oh yeah.
What do you call those?
Your life decisions.
Yes. Is that what they're called?
Yeah. No, I don't know what they're called, but I remember like, them. I remember just like, yeah.
You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, you open it, then you go, and then it's like blue. Okay, blue. And you pick it, it goes like, ah, you're a monkey. Ah.
Yeah.
And you go like, oh, man. Oh, I guess I'm the monkey. It was like a BuzzFeed quiz before BuzzFeed quizzes were like a thing.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just, the thing.
Dude, it was so great. And I was so jealous because they were so fun. Or when you got a bit older, when you're like 12, 13, people started making like sexual. So it'd be like 1, 2, and you go, okay, you have to kiss Julie. And you go, no, I don't want to kiss Julie. And then they're like, oh, and then that's how those used to go. Do you remember those ones?
Oh yeah, true. Yeah. Or even just passing notes in class. Do you remember that? I don't know if kids know that.
Dude, those are so fun. I loved passing notes.
Just pass them in class.
It's like before texts. It's way more fun than that. Because someone could intercept it and see what you're writing. And then it became like a shitstorm.
Just laughs at you, or the teacher picks it up, then you're done.
Oh, it's so rough, dude.
Then you're so done.
Yeah.
Just your message to Abigail.
And then,
what's your favorite color? Purple's mine, too.
Then Mr. Pather finds it. And he goes.
Just goes. This is not your father's paying you to be here for. Focus.
Yes. Yeah.
Sorry, I did not have any Australian teachers. I don't know why I spoke like that.
Is that an Australian accent? It doesn't sound particularly.
I think so. Yeah. But also, being a kid back then, it was just, people just don't understand the missions we used to get into.
Like what? Like, give me an example.
Like, for example, like, people might not remember this. You know, like a tuck shop?
Yes. Yes, I remember that. Hustling at the tuck shop.
Oh, dude, that was my bread and butter. I used to go to break, be like, listen to me, I have no money in my pocket.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a steak and kidney pie and a Fanta.
I can imagine be so good at that.
And I was like, the ultimate salesman.
Like convincing people to give them their
money. I was like, dude, 2 rand. Money. You don't have 2 rand. You have 2 rand for me. Come on, dude, stop it. Give me Turan quickly. Little did I know I was actually robbing these children. I had no idea at the time. I thought I was just a great salesman.
How did you do it? Was it kind of manipulative? Were you like, hey, you know you're my best. You know you're my favorite guy. Well, yeah. How are you getting these kids to give them the money?
I think either I was so annoying that it was just better to give me something so I'd go away. Yeah. So I'd have a high, you know, the volume, it'd be a volume transaction thing.
Yeah.
And I think I was just a man who was always in the flow. Like I always knew the right thing to say to the right person to get money to fall out of their hands.
It's probably a very good skill to like find the weak ones. That's
exactly. Yes. And you know, but also you knew some people like, dude, come on, I know your dad. We went to your birthday party. We know, come on, give me some cash.
I think that's the thing for me. Like I would always ask kids for cash. And it's not because, like, I mean, obviously I'm a very privileged white guy, but I was never given pocket money. So when I saw someone who, and like, I wanted a pizza more than I know that kid will value that R5 that I can build towards my pizza. Like, exactly. I know that kid, like, you have so much money and I have so little money. Give me a little bit of your money. Like it was just socialism. I was just advocating for socialism at a young age. I was saying, you just spread your wealth. We can all be happy.
And that's also the first time I understood debt. Because I was also like, dude, I've got you tomorrow. Relax.
Oh.
And then I started to understand interest. Like, okay, I don't have you today, but what I can have you at the end of the week for an extra dollar. And then I'd hustle, get that other dollar.
Okay. So you actually... So
I was even just managing cash flow. I was managing transactions.
Actually created quite complex...
Pies.
Quite fiscal systems. Natural instruments.
Primary school.
Dude, that's amazing. That's incredible. That was the best. Oh, I think in terms of, if I think about school memories, remember JoJo's? Do you remember JoJo's?
Were they like the little toy?
Yeah, they were like little plastic things. They looked like melting humans. It was actually weird.
I used to cry for those things.
Dude, that was such a huge deal.
What were those things?
I have no idea. Why was that so popular? I could not understand. I don't understand. But I remember one day.
Did you just collect them? Did you even throw them? It was just collect and trade,
There was a game. I think there was a game that you played.
Oh, there was a game? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And then one day I actually had the king or something. I had like a really good JoJo. And I didn't know he was good. And I was on the playground. And this kid, I think his name was Tian, asshole. He was like, no, that's not a good one. I'll give you my one. And he had like a really average one. And he was like, no, for your white king, I'll give you this like little red Play-Doh thing. And I was like, oh yeah, okay, cool, sweet, sounds good. And then afterwards, like everyone came up and they're like, oh my God, did you change your white king for his silly boy? Oh, and shit. I was like, I know
this exact experience.
Yeah, I did. And they're like, oh, you're so dumb. And I think it scarred me. I think I was actually scarred by that experience.
Fuck. Yeah. That happened to you too?
Dude, same.
They got
same
you thing. Like that?
They got dude, me so good.
They got me in Pokemon.
Oh, dude. Fuck. The cards?
Dude, I'll never forget it. I had an abracadabra. I think it was abracadabra. Graphic-y.
Was it shiny?
And the guy, Or like the one shiny after abracadabra.
Alakazam.
Maybe it was Alakazam. No, it was one of those. Mm. But the guy had a Hitmonda. Like a shiny Hitmonda. Hitmonlee, was that him?
Hitmonlee, yes. Yeah. Sorry.
Might have been Hitmonlee. It's no, but the boxing one.
All these Pokemon.
No, the boxing. Who's the boxing one?
Hitmonchan.
Hitmonchan. That's the one. Hitmonchan. Oh, dude, I had a Hitmon. No, so I had the one after abracadabra. This guy had a Hitmonchan. And I just thought it was shiny like mine.
Okay.
Like, didn't have any concept. Like, it was just like, it was right at the Pokemon craze. So it was just like, get your parents to buy those little cards at the CNA.
Yeah.
And then, you know, show out.
Sure.
And I swapped the card for the Hitmon. What's it called?
Hitmonchan.
Hitmonchan. No, the boxing one.
Hitmonchan?
No, Hitmonlee is the kicking one. Hitmonchan, yeah, you're right.
Okay, yeah.
And then everyone's just laughing at me like, oh, you don't understand. Dude, you're not going to get... And then I literally went back to him and I was like, I'm going to fuck you up and if you don't give me my card back. Because you ripped me off. yeah. And then he was like, no, that's the rules. Like, you can't get him back after you trade. I was like, no, my father bought me that and you're going to give that back to me or there's going to be issues.
I'm going to fuck you up. That's...
yeah.
I think that's like, cheating. You can't offer to... You can't...
I was like, yeah,
you can't make
deal.
A trade. You can't go to a restaurant to be like, sorry, I'll have the steak, and you get it, and it's a shitty steak. You go, listen, I want my buddy back. I'm going to punch you in the mouth.
Well, no, dude. Thing is, maybe not punch you in the mouth, but because you'd be a bit older. But I've seen someone who's, because I worked at a restaurant. I've watched someone who's eaten a steak halfway through, and he was a chef. No one actually knew that.
Yeah,
he came to the front where the chefs were, and he put it in front of them and said, "Would you eat this?"
No.
Yeah, he's like, so I don't know how you wake up in the morning and think this is solid work and expect people to pay the prices they pay. So you guys discuss amongst yourselves what you think is fair. But yeah. My entire table is disappointed, and I've come in with a party of 10. So you figure out what's right. Dude, don't play.
That's so hectic. I loved working at a restaurant for the things that you see that you think no one else sees. Like, I remember there was a, the chef I used to work for used to like racially profile people by the kind of meat that they eat.
No.
So, dude, 100%. And like to his credit, he got it right like a lot of the time. So you would like, what? Yeah. You would say like, so I've got this order here for three steaks and one fish. They're all the steaks must be medium rare. And he goes, and he's like cooking. And he's like, what race is the family? And I go, what? It's like, what race is the family? They are of African descent.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, okay, they want them well done. And then you would tell the kitchen to make them well done. Even though it said medium rare on the ticket, you'd be like, no, yeah. they want the meat well done.
No, burn it.
Yeah, fry it. It won't. And I was like, well, that's racist. And you nailed it though. That family wanted burnt meat. They didn't want medium rare. So
yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because we're so used to, you know, just we're not used to steaks. We're used to lamb.
Yes. Okay.
So you cook lamb. That's sure. The thing.
Okay.
Now, I even had to introduce it to some of my cousins, although they just swear at me and say, Mr. Australia, fuck off.
Yeah.
We're not trying to cook medium rare steaks for them.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're not Mr. Australia. We don't want this, man. What do we need? Thank you. What they hit me with. So I stopped cooking medium rare a long time for my family members.
How long did you work as a waiter for?
I was a waiter, I think my whole uni career. So what, 3-4 years?
This is quite a while. So you saw some shit. I mean, I was a waiter for like...
Dude, I chased someone. I've seen people like... You chased a couple someone? Ordered, yeah, they just came in, ordered like three cocktails amongst themselves and then ran. Yeah. They ordered their food and they ran.
And then?
You had to run off. I just came in to get drunk. Yeah, then I ran off and I'm like, hey, you guys going to pay? And they just looked at me and then they walked off. And I was like, hey, well, they don't pay me enough to fight you.
Dude, I had this exact, not the exact same, but like a similar thing. Like I worked at this pub in England and it was like a Friday afternoon. And he's kind of like, how do I say this without sounding rude? He's a kind of like real working class kind of like plumbers / painter guys. Came into the pub and it was like a really middle class pub. And they came in and they were like, oh yeah, it's a really good place, man. Really like the aesthetic. It's really cool here. Hope that was a good Cockney accent.
Oh, yeah, you did well there.
Oh yeah, okay, cool.
Keep that going, yeah.
So I'll bring it up again at the rest of the story. So I'm like chilling, whatever. I'm like behind the bar, like I'm just doing my thing, and then I'm working with this lady who's one of my colleagues, and she's got like a lot of tattoos, and then she kind of goes around the corner and she goes. Then he goes, oh yeah, she's got a lot of tattoos. Have you seen all of them? Wink, wink. And I'm like, dude, we don't need that kind of sexist behavior here. That's unacceptable. I didn't say that because he's really big and he would fuck me up. But I was thinking it like a lot. And then these guys went into the bathroom and came back high as fuck. Like they were obviously doing cocaine in the bathroom. And it was like,
Jesus, at the pub, bloody.
At the pub, dude, like a very chilled pub. And the manager, because I'm the only guy on staff that day, given I'm like 5'6", but they were like, I'm the only guy on staff, so I must go handle the situation. So now they've gone back into the bathroom to do more drugs. So they go, Nick, can you go and sort these guys out and just get them out of here? Like I'm a bouncer. And I was like, no, I'm going to die. You want them out of here, you call the police. I'm about to go.
I ain't doing shit, bro. I'm here to work.
What do you think? I'm here to polish glasses and serve beers. I'm going to go fuck some some character from Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels. What do you think I'm gonna do? A member of the Green Street Hooligans. What am I gonna do against that guy? That's ridiculous.
I think we just moved on such a tangent from our school stories there.
Oh, we did, hey. Oh, I forgot.
We're talking about school stories, and now you're kicking out Guy Ritchie's mates.
Mates are getting kicked out. I don't know what happened there. I'm not sure what went down. But yeah.
I was at the Perth Podcast Festival. Started around, I think it was 10th of November we were there. Yesterday? Yeah. Yesterday was the 11th, sorry. And it was just they had like a guest panel speaking and some really, really good key speakers. They had a really famous sort of like radio presenter from industry. And they had this one guy. I won't talk too much about the other people. They're cool and everything. But they had this guy who's a FIFA worker, for people who don't know, like a miner. Yeah. So he flies in, flies out. And he started a podcast called Open Up, where he interviews FIFA workers about their mental health, which I thought was super interesting. Yeah.
His whole podcast.
Yeah, his whole podcast. He just interviews different people, whether they're from sort of psychology of mental health and people around that, but also just talking to different minors and talking about why they're there and how do they help their mental health and giving them pointers. So because that's like a massive thing in Australia.
What, mining sort of, or suicide?
The suicide rate in mining.
Oh, it's really? Massive.
Massive.
Wow. Is it because you're so far away from your family all the time?
Everything you can think of. Everything you think of.
So all that stuff. Home, yeah, sure.
Away from home, earning more money than you can spend, therefore overspending. And I hear about, there's some people who are miners who like, they don't even live in Perth. They work in Perth, but because they do like 4 weeks on, 1 week off, they'll literally go work, live in, on the one side, and then go to Bali for a week, come back on the one side, then go to Japan for a week, come back on the one side, then go to Europe for a week, come back on the one side. Yeah, dude.
That's crazy. What a lifestyle.
Can get depressing, I would imagine, though.
I can imagine. Yes, sure. Without like the home base and stuff. But yeah.
So he was really interesting. And then it was also just interesting to talk to some grassroots level guys who were, sort of in the crowd with me and hearing different stories and different podcasts and, getting us out there and sort of giving our elevator pitch. So yeah, it was a really good time.
That's great, man. That sounds really exciting. What's the coolest thing you learned?
We end up on a panel soon.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. I'm sure that's in the pipeline.
What is the coolest thing I learned?
About podcasting, about the industry, all those things.
Oh, like it's only going to get bigger.
Oh, really? So we're in a burgeoning
market. It's only going to get bigger.
Why did they say that?
It's only going to get bigger and the cream will rise to the top.
Okay.
That's what I learned. Yeah, hopefully that's us. But there's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of people who think they can do it. There's a lot of people who still want to do it. Like I still meet people like, oh, I've been thinking about doing a podcast for like 3 years. I love podcasts, but I just don't know what to talk about. Like,
cool.
So, and I'm like, oh shit.
You should tell them you can just talk about fucking anything. Couldn't you just go on and talk about whatever you feel like that week and then
it made me realize like, oh, there's people who like want to do this but like are incapable of doing it.
I can imagine you know what I mean? Some people, like if I look at numbers, for example, my whole brain goes like, you know what I mean? Like
it's
crazy. Whereas someone like you or some other numbers person looks at it and go like, oh, well, this makes perfect sense.
Times
the 4 by the 2 and add the 63. I don't know how the numbers work. And then, but I mean, for us, this kind of makes more sense. It's kind of like, that's interesting.
People literally ask me, so how do you record it? What equipment do you use? What microphones? Like, how do you, I'm like, man, you're like 2 years behind me.
That's true.
Like you aren't going to catch me at least. But that was also interesting to find out.
At least you hit that person. Yeah. At least you.
Yeah. And it was also just talking about, just how the space has evolved. Like there was a person who's like, I've been podcasting for 10 years.
Oh, really?
I'm like, well, why are you still here doing panels? You should have made it by now. Anyway. And
she was talking
about how the numbers, like all the numbers are sort of flooding into podcasting.
Oh, yeah.
And now there's a drive for more like doco style podcasts.
That makes sense.
I've started rising to the top. You know, because the medium it is, right? Podcast is a form. I think it's the greatest form of media, personally.
The greatest form of media?
I think it's the greatest form of media.
Why do you say
mostly,
that?
Mostly based on the fact that you can get a lot of information that otherwise wouldn't readily be available to you. And you can do it while achieving other tasks.
That's very true.
There's not other medium that can compete with that, I personally think.
That's a very good point. Adam, it's quite interesting because it's literally just radio recorded. That's kind of what it is. It's just like it takes away the stress of always having to create content, always on air on radio. Just a recorded thing for half an hour, 45 minutes or an hour. And just packed with your niche stuff. The information that you want to gather.
And the game is convenience, right? So the fact that I can listen to what I want when I want, just can't compete with that. I can listen while I'm on my phone. I can listen while I'm doing the dishes. I can listen while I'm at work. I can listen while I'm running, while I'm commuting. Movies can't compete with that.
That's true. I mean, my biggest thing was running and listening to a podcast.
Yeah.
So if I'm listening to like an informative podcast while I'm running, I'm betting on myself physically and mentally at the same time. Like, that's nuts. How do I get that kind of bang for my buck? It's incredible.
It was definitely good, you know, sort of to see our people and Perth is not the biggest place in the world, and there were a lot of people there.
Really? So there's a lot of people doing podcasts and making podcasts.
There's a lot of people, and a lot of people still want to.
Yeah,
I'm sure people listen to us are also just like, oh, maybe I could do this, maybe whatever.
Mm,
and I'm here to tell you, the shit ain't easy though, because that's another thing they spoke about. It's like, oh yeah, I'm sure you got 13 ideas. I'm sure you got 20 ideas, but let's get to 30 and see if you guys can still record.
That's interesting.
And that's where the nuggets are. That's what they were saying to us. It's like the consistency is where you'll start to separate yourself.
Oh, because like doing it every week, getting it done, getting it sorted.
And it was also like, I don't know, it was also a bit validating because it was like, who's a podcaster here? And it was like, no, yeah, I'm a podcaster.
You are a podcaster.
Yeah. I'm not just doing it, my nana. Like, I'm a legit podcaster. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, 100%.
Like people coming to me like, oh, how do I do this? Help me with this. How do you do that?
Yeah. Were you like a celeb in the room?
I wasn't the celeb. There was actual celebs in the room.
Okay.
But I was a bit of a celeb because there was a few people who had podcasts, but not many who were willing to share. So then, when the room just starts to realize, wait, why is that black guy got his hands waving? They just linger. This lady next to you.
It's like, I don't want to help anyone to the top.
And they go, hi, I'm Debbie. Do you have a podcast? What is your podcast? And I go, okay, Debbie, here's the spine. Like, just give it to a quick elevator pitch. I'll subscribe.
We should have
had a few subscriptions.
Cards. Oh, yeah? That's good.
We should have. I had a few people who opened their phone who pretend. I don't know if they actually listened. But what I realized?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I don't think this podcast is just for us, not even for listeners. I set the tone.
Okay.
So like I wasn't overreachy. Like even the panel people, like afterwards, everyone just ran to them. And I was like, nah, leave them because there's more events coming. You know what I mean? So you set the standards, but then you keep pitching. Eventually Oak's like, wait, no.
Who's that guy?
Exactly.
Yes. Dude, when I started doing stand-up, that's exactly what I did. I went to all these stand-up gigs and people saw me in the room like, and I wasn't going up on stage. I was just watching a stand-up and getting a thing for it. And eventually it was like, who the fuck is this guy who's at every single show? Is he like a psychopath who's here to murder one of us? Or is he like a potential comic? And that's how eventually it...
Oh, because you're going there one man. Hey, you need no one to back you.
I went there all the time. I just went to go watch... I just love stand-up. I was just going to watch stand-up. And then eventually someone was just like, dude, like, what are you doing here? Are you... Please don't kill us, please. And I was like, no, I'm here to... I love stand-up. I want to do stand-up.
I want to be you.
So I see it's a good strategy. I think it works. I think it's a positive strategy. Okay, cool. Should you call it there,
dude? We should run we're in England in a pub with you while you're fighting lock, stocking, barrel characters.
Should we wrap it up there?
We need to wrap it up for the fans.
Thank you so much for this week, and I'll see you next week.
See you next week. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. The new subscribers, thank you guys for subscribing and listening. And we'll look forward to talking to you guys next week.